Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. In this disposable digital world we live in, a sea change is underway. Enter the age of the makers. In cities and towns across the country, community makerspaces are popping up, giving the public access to 3D printers, CNC machines, welding equipment, and more. Access to high-tech equipment certainly isn't the only draw. The maker revolution, or tinkering renaissance, is also about community, like-minded creators coming together at the intersection of art, technology, and science. Karen Wilkinson is co-author, along with Mike Petrich, of a new book called The Art of Tinkering. Karen and Mike are also co-directors of the popular Tinkering Studio at San Francisco's renowned Museum of Science, Art, and Human Perception, also known as the Exploratorium. And Karen joins us now from San Francisco. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm happy to be on the program with you.
What is your definition of tinkering? It's kind of an old school word.
It is kind of an old school word, and it's interesting. We've given now workshops kind of around the world, and not all cultures have a word for, you know, tinkering doesn't mean the same thing in different cultures. To us, it really is this way of going about inquiring about things around you. You're kind of asking questions of the phenomena, of the material. It's part problem solving, part making, part doing, but it's really about kind of propelling yourself past failure and frustration and really just enjoying the pleasure of tinkering with something.
What do you think is behind this resurgence in making and tinkering?
Yeah, well, the maker movement to me is just, it's so exciting to see the growth. It's definitely, as you mentioned, it's in the zeitgeist right now for sure. But I still remember, I guess it's almost 7 years ago now, the first maker fair that was held here in San Mateo. It felt like we were on the edge of something big then, and it just continues to grow. I think it's tapped into something that's deeply human in all of us, a desire to kind of connect with others who share similar interests, but also an appreciation for people doing way out, kind of far out wacky things. And the best part of Maker Faire, I think, is that it gives people a platform to share their work. I think the Tinkering Studio does that too, but Maker Faire, you know, it's this weekend blowout that everybody comes, and where you might get to see those folks at different clubs or organizations in a community, they're all in one place at Maker Faire, so it's really concentrated. So you'll have crafters and hobbyists and enthusiasts, but you'll also have professionals who build robotics, so they're all kind of mashed up together.
Well, let's talk about this book. It pretty much runs the gamut of possible projects. There's a section on making cardboard masks, one using those ubiquitous plastic shopping bags to make fabric. What might you suggest, Karen, as a good beginner project or something maybe to rekindle a childhood passion for tinkering?
I think that's it. You've got it. I think tapping into something that you were interested in once, whether it's way back in childhood or even last month, pick some genre that you want to investigate and really push it. Like, for instance, cameras. I mean, I was really interested in photography as a teenager. In the book, there are people who think about cameras, but in completely bizarre ways. I'll give you an example. Justin Quinnell created a pinhole camera. So that's sticking film into something that's got a tiny little hole, and it'll expose the film. Well, to him, it wasn't just a box with a hole in it. He decided to put the film in his mouth. And the gap between his teeth was the hole. So you get this image developed of him laying in the tub. So you see his feet down at the bottom of the tub and the faucet and his arms and the backside of his teeth.
You did say wacky.
Yep. There's a 9-year-old who sent her Hello Kitty doll up into space and photographed it that way.
Whoa.
There's a guy who flies kites and takes pictures down from kites. It's just, I think the beauty of tinkering is that it really is a celebration of kind of playful invention, at its best.
We're talking about The Art of Tinkering. It's the name of a new book by Karen Wilkinson and Mike Petrich. They are also co-directors of the Tinkering Studio at San Francisco's Exploratorium, so she's seen plenty of interesting projects. The Exploratorium Tinkering Studio and this book remind me of the wonder of making things as a child. You know, it's like we were born to it. It is a little more intimidating for an adult to walk into a makerspace, not really knowing what their goal is or what their interest is. And playing is kind of scarier for adults, don't you think? Or do you have to encourage adults to play?
You know, I think, yes, you do have to encourage it more than kids. But I think if we start to see both making and tinkering as a practice, something that we develop, you can't be an expert right in the beginning, but you can start with something that you really connect with. Find something that resonates with you. An example that I love of an adult that sort of turned a hobby into a passion, and now she sells stuff on Etsy, is Emily Stone King. She's a knitter. She took a technique that is really used in making socks and kind of was playing with this idea, well, I can make this, instead of making a toe for a sock, I can make this three-dimensional thing. Well, now she has a store on Etsy called Anitomy. Instead of Anatomy, it's Anitomy. And she creates these dissected frogs and rats and bats and worms that are all made out of yarn. They're all knitted. And they're just beautiful. But to me, so a lot of adults I know how to knit. So it's taking that idea and just seeing how you can push it and how others are pushing it. That's the exciting thing.
Let's talk about some of the tenets of tinkering, some of the encouraging words that you and Mike Petrich have from your observations of tinkerers. Here are a couple. One, put yourself in a messy, noisy, and sometimes dangerous situation. What's the benefit there?
Well, that's you're keying in on the kind of put yourself in an area that you're a little bit uncomfortable. There's real payoff there. It might not feel good at first, but I think deep down we all kind of love the things, doing the things we're kind of not supposed to do sometimes. And I think that's what it's about. As adults, we've sort of trained the natural tinkerer out of us in some cases. It's about reconnecting with those things.
Another one, use familiar materials in unfamiliar ways. Some examples of that.
I'm laughing at this, but the one I really love right now is Danny Scheibel. He has done things with masking tape to me that are absolutely unbelievable. He's developed this technique of rolling and folding it. He calls it tapeogami, but he creates these three-dimensional sculptures. And some of them he slices and they almost look biological, but then he also combines them to make giant lamps and environments, but it's all masking tape.
I'm looking at that right now, and also a Patrick Nagatani, he makes tapestries, I guess, out of masking tape.
Yeah. It's that idea of just totally pushing a material. Scott Weaver is also in the book. He's another one who's done extraordinary things with toothpicks. And this is something you talked about connecting with something as you did as a kid. He started this when he was 14, and he's been doing it for almost 38 years now. And he has amassed this kind of 9-foot by 9-foot sculpture of San Francisco. But it does more than that. It lets you roll ping pong balls down and through this sculpture to take different tours of the city.
One interesting thing about this, we're talking about some of the amazing things that people make, but this is not a traditional crafting book. There's no Martha Stewart step-by-step diagram of how to make something with a defined result. You give us ideas. You give us elements. Is that the difference between tinkering and crafting?
Well, it is a distinction that we care a lot about. I'll say that. For us, we really wanted to get people started, but not give them a recipe. Give them enough to get going, but not necessarily determine the next step. We wanted that to come from them. So we sort of present interesting phenomena that people can mess with and give an example of something they can do. But our hope is that each reader who undertakes something like that is going to turn up with something completely different from the next person.
Well, messing with is, I guess, another tenet of the movement. In fact, you have a hackable cover for your book. What does that mean?
Well, this is the one thing. We had never written a book before. So the very first meeting, we said, we really want you to be able to tinker with the book. That was the only thing from the first meeting we continued to keep throughout the year of creating the book. But we decided that we wanted the cover to be hackable somehow. So there were lots of ideas going back and forth, and conductive ink was something that a lot of people in the group were drawn to. So the idea is you've got this ink. So instead of typical ink, the ink is conductive, which means if you put a battery down on it, and then we use LEDs, but you hold the LEDs down onto the surface of the ink as well, it'll light up.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, Karen, I'm trying this right now. Got four little LEDs and a D battery.
And you kind of have to fudge with it. An LED is directional, so it only works one way.
Uh-huh.
So if it's not working, flip it over and try the lead in the other on the other side. It definitely takes futzing or tinkering.
Okay, we may have drained our 9-volt battery trying this.
That can happen, too. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to try that in my tinkering hours. What do you hope somebody is going to get out of reading this book?
I hope they're going to get two things out of the book. One is to be inspired by something that really resonates with them personally, but also to see that they're not alone in this. All of the folks in the book started somewhere. They were beginners. But the interesting thing about everyone in the book, they share this tinkerer's disposition, this kind of insatiable curiosity. And I hope they'll kind of become a part of a larger community of people like that.
Well, thanks for inspiring us today, Karen.
Yeah, thank you.
Karen Wilkinson, co-author, along with Mike Petrich, of a new book called The Art of Tinkering. Karen and Mike are also co-directors of the extremely popular tinkering studio at San Francisco's renowned Exploratorium. To find out more about the book and see a video of some of the tinkerers plying their trades at wordofmouthradio.org, there's also a link to the Portsmouth Makerspace, where you can tinker yourself, and more on the second annual Mini Makers Fair that's scheduled for this summer in Dover, New Hampshire. All of that is at wordofmouthradio.org. Carbon, radium, uranium. At one point in all of our lives, we were expected to know the periodic table. But how on earth did those elements get their names? Well, it turns out in some surprising and dramatic ways. We'll find out more when Word of Mouth continues.